Perhaps you're experiencing something now where you're struggling to keep your head above water and you can't figure out why God is silent. Where is God in the midst of your storm? And perhaps, like the disciples, you shake your fist at heaven and yell at God, "Don't you care about me?"
That's the Reverend Dr. Quincy Brown, and today he shares a challenging message of faith called, "Is Jesus in Your Boat?" I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to welcome the Reverend Dr. Quincy D. Brown, who serves as District Superintendent and Missional Strategist for the Central South District of the North Georgia Conference of the United Methodist Church. Quincy has served in various churches as a youth minister, associate pastor and pastor, as chaplain and vice president of LaGrange College, as church planter in residence at Impact Church and church planter at Threshold Church, and as executive pastor of Peachtree City United Methodist Church. A graduate of DeVry Institute of Technology, he earned his Master of Divinity from Candler School of Theology at Emory University and his Doctor of Ministry from Gammon Theological Seminary at the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta. He's the author of Discipleship Path, Guiding Congregations to Connect with Jesus. Quincy, welcome to Day One.
Thank you, Peter. I'm glad to be here.
You have an amazing resume that reveals a very broad and diverse ministry in a variety of settings, established churches, new church plants, colleges, and conference districts. How would you summarize what your ministry mission is all about?
That's a great question, Peter. If I had to put it into short, abbreviated terms, it would be equipping churches to discern new and innovative ways of connecting people with Jesus. Mm.
So how are you going about that these days?
As all of us have learned in this global pandemic, we have had to pivot and from my engineering days, learn to control, alt, delete. And so part of it is helping churches to ask certain questions such as, who are we now? What have we learned about ourselves? Who is our community? And who is God calling us to become?
And last time you were with us in 2015, you had become executive pastor of Peachtree City United Methodist. And since then, you've been serving as district superintendent of DeKalb, Rockdale, Newton, and Henry counties in Georgia for the North Georgia Conference. So what exactly does a district superintendent do?
That's a great question, and honestly, it depends. But seriously, a superintendent is, think of it as a regional manager, and a regional manager of the franchise, and these franchises are churches. Mm-hmm. And so my job is to support the pastors, to be a resource to the pastors and to the churches. There is oversight and supervision, but also ministry support.
Mm-hmm. And Bishop Sue Hoppert Johnson has recently announced that you will be serving as senior pastor of Snellville United Methodist Church in Snellville, Georgia. So it's back to parish ministry for you. Can you tell us about that congregation?
Well, I am still in the process of learning. I can tell you that it is a great congregation with a long, outstanding history of passionate lay people and staff people. Mm-hmm. I am looking forward to being part of this new journey with them as we find ways, innovative ways, to welcome all people into a growing relationship with Jesus.
You've been involved in two new church plants in the conference, and you're passionate about equipping churches to imagine new ways to connect people with Jesus, as you've said. In fact, you wrote a book about it, Discipleship Path. And now that we're beginning to come out of the pandemic, what are you sensing about the future of the church?
From everything that I'm reading, it suggests to me that this is a time of opportunity. If we think about this pandemic as a great, huge pause, a liminal space, if you will, what we have learned, what we will learn, how we've been transformed, I think the world is hungry. They're hungry to find out what hope looks like. They're hungry to understand forgiveness. They want to know how to change their lives. And I think that the church has an excellent opportunity, particularly how we learned in this pandemic of when we pivoted to go online. Many of our churches had never done this before, and we saw an increase in engagement. And I think that going forward, engagement is going to be the name of the game.
Quincy, how did you experience your call to ministry?
My call is a situation where I was grieving the loss of a beloved aunt, as well as a breakup of a girlfriend. Don't worry, Peter. My wife is giving me permission to talk about the girlfriend. So as a second semester freshman in college, the only way I knew how to grieve is to go to the game room. I have always had a vivid imagination, very passionate about Marvel Comics and video games. And so I found myself in a video arcade room trying to drown my sorrows. And I pumped $20 worth of quarters into a video game, adamant that I was going to be first place. And I knew that I was going to get bragging rights because all of my peers at college went to that video arcade room. And if they saw my initials, QDB, they know it was me. Well, the game room was packed and I was into the game. And two girls approached me and I saw them out of my peripheral vision. They handed me something. I received it, tossed it to the side, and kept playing. When the game was over, much to my dismay, I did not win first place, second place, or third place. I was fifth place. So I picked up the pamphlet. It was a pamphlet that on the front. It said, How to Know God. And so I flipped through it, and the aunt that I was still mourning had already taught me about church and escorted me to Sunday school. And so I figured that they're wasting this on somebody, and so I needed to find these girls and to return it. So I ran through the mall trying to find them, finding myself at the atrium of the food court and beginning to burst out into tears, not understanding why, shaking my fist at the skylight, saying, God, what do you want from me? I didn't get any answers. Much later, that question still was looming in the back of my mind, perhaps in my unconscious. And finally, an answer emerged. I want you. And that became my call to ministry.
Wow. What a story. Quincy, your sermon today draws from the gospel reading from Mark chapter 4. Would you read it for us?
Absolutely. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, Let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the winds died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.
Quincy, we look forward to hearing your sermon about this, and what you ask us is Jesus in your boat. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Very welcome. I took a beginner swimming class in summer camp, but I never learned to swim. I was scared of the water. I guess my fear of water began when an older cousin tossed me into the deep end of the swimming pool, saying that I would either sink or swim. I freaked out, thinking that I was going to drown. I violently shook my arms as if the water was a sworn enemy to be defeated, and I sank to the bottom of the pool. After a lifeguard saved my life, my friend said that if I would stop fighting the water and relax, that I would float. I tried to follow this advice only to sink and not swim. I figured that my body was either waterlogged or designed to stay on land. I tried to overcome my fear. I managed to make it across to the other side of the kiddie pool. But crossing over to the other side of the regular pool scared me to death. I was the only camper to receive a certificate who failed the swimming test. Someone had already printed the certificates, and no one had ever not received one. That is, at least until I participated. I never learned to swim. I'm still afraid of water, and I always pray when taking a flight over water, thinking my waterlogged frame will be my demise, even with the flotation seat. Today, years later, my inability to swim still haunts me. But it's not what you think. Of course, I stay clear of water, but I struggle to swim across the other side of the deep waters of change. I can't keep my head above water. I can't catch the rhythm of the stroke. And deep change gives me a sinking feeling that scares me to death. Our Bible lesson today finds the disciples with a similar struggle. Jesus is teaching on the western bank of the Sea of Galilee. The crowd grows so large that he has to use a boat as a makeshift teaching platform. Jesus is preaching the good news of God's kingdom, wanting people to put into practice the words that he's saying. And the people are following him. The crowds are growing large, and Jesus teaches in parables. And sometimes people understand it, other times people don't. So he explains it to them. And later that day, perhaps exhausted from exerting himself, he pulls his disciples aside and says to them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." Following Jesus' request, they set sail at the widest point of the sea, from the west to east, heading for the other side. No sooner than they began to sail across the 13-mile lake, Jesus falls asleep. Now, I can imagine the disciples talking amongst themselves, perhaps engaged in figuring out what the parables meant that Jesus told on the shore. Perhaps they're wondering what's going to happen once they get to the other side of the lake. Is it going to be more of the same? Are there going to be more crowds pressing in on Jesus and demanding his time and their time? Before they could answer any of these questions, it happened. The swirling hot air rose. The cool air fell in the area to transform the calm sea. Without warning, the winds began to blow and the calm sea began to get choppy. Huge waves started to toss the boat back and forth. What began as a simple request to cross to the other side of the lake was now the perfect storm. It scared the disciples to death. Some of the disciples on the boat were expert fishermen, and they've navigated through the Sea of Galilee storms before. But this time it was different. The waves were so turbulent that water began to flood into the boat, and panic set in. They feared for their lives, and all the while, Jesus is asleep. And they shake him as hard as they can. "Teacher, teacher, teacher, don't you care about us? Don't you care that we are about to die?" And I can imagine Jesus rising to assess the situation. The Bible tells us that he calmly speaks to the wind and the waves. "Silence, be quiet." And just as fast as the storm started, the winds abruptly died down. The sea began to get calm again. And Jesus looks at his disciples and asks, "Why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet?" The disciples are puzzled, asking themselves, "Who is this guy? Yes, we know he can give parables. We've even seen him do some of the things that God could only do. But we've never, ever seen anything like this. He talks to the water and the wind, and they obey him." Jesus was asleep during a storm in the disciples' lives. Now, I don't know about you, but this is where I find both troubling aspects of the text that stands out to me. You see, if I were in the boat, my fear of water would appear, and I would relive my swim class experience of sinking to the bottom of the pool. I would feel that I'm about to drown. And it doesn't seem that Jesus is that interested in what's going on in my life. Maybe you have had that same experience. Perhaps you're experiencing something now where you're struggling to keep your head above water and you can't figure out why God is silent. Where is God in the midst of your storm? And perhaps, like the disciples, you shake your fist at heaven and yell at God, "Don't you care about me? I am about to die. Why don't you come see about me?" The second thing that's personally troubling, and it seems kind of strange, is that it's Jesus' idea to cross to the other side of the lake in the first place. What was he thinking? Was he only thinking about himself because he was tired? But what about the disciples? Are there times where it feels like maybe you've gotten the short end of the stick? Perhaps you're waiting on something that you've been praying for a long time, and all you heard is a deafening silence where nothing happens. Maybe you're praying for a miracle, and you've prayed without ceasing, even petitioning your A-list prayer warriors to intercede on your behalf. But still, your prayers seem to go unanswered. Like a rubber ball, they bounce off the floor and the ceiling, never to reach heaven's gate. But there is good news in this text. The fact that Jesus tells them to cross to the other side of the lake suggests to me that he will be present with us when we're crossing over the obstacles, problems, and uncertain situations in our lives. And just as I learned in swim class, the disciples also have to face their fear and cross to the other side of the lake. With Jesus asleep in their boat, they must cross over through the choppiness and the disorder of chaos, where the sunny skies turn dark and gray, where angry clouds show up suddenly, to a place of tranquil water and still waters that run deep again. Like the disciples, I've shaken my fist at God before shouting, "Don't you care about me?" But all along, I was focused on the wrong thing. It's so easy to get distracted by the storms and forget that Jesus is in the boat. Faith says that if Jesus is in the boat and the boat is going through a storm, if we're able to step back and get out of our triggered fear, there's a good chance that Jesus will also calm our storms. If we're in the presence of Jesus, then we will be okay. We might get a little wet, we might get a little soggy, but we will be okay because of the one who created the sky and the sea. The one who was with creation when the earth was formless and void and darkness covered the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God hovered above the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." Perhaps this is a creation story for our faith. I know it is with me when I get down. When I get distracted and focus on the storm instead of Jesus, I get exhausted and I fret. I get tired and I need a little rest. Knowing that in your most difficult days, when the storms of life are raging, Jesus is the one who's in your boat. Maybe he's asleep, but he's still in your boat. And I would rather have a sleeping Jesus in my boat than being on a large luxury cruise ship out in the middle of the ocean with all of the amenities, particularly when the sea gets rough. What about you, friends? Is Jesus in your boat? The boat represents your life. Maybe your boat has drifted away from Jesus. Maybe at one time you were close to Jesus, but today you feel like he's miles away. Perhaps that's what it feels like for Jesus to be asleep in your boat. But the good news is that Jesus is never too far away from us. Will you call out to Jesus? Will you trust Jesus when things get out of hand? Will you call when your boat begins to shake and it feels like you're ready to sink and drown? As you cross the obstacles and places of uncertainty in your life, can you call out to the one who can speak peace in your life to say, "Winds, calm down. Waves, stop"? I still don't know how to swim, but I've placed my faith, hope, and trust in the one who sleeps in my boat as I cross to the other side. Those who have ears, let them hear. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Dr. Quincy Brown, the Central South District Superintendent for the North Georgia Conference of the United Methodist Church. For a free transcript of his sermon, "Is Jesus in Your Boat?" call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Remember, Day 1 depends on the financial gifts of faithful listeners like you. Please consider supporting our ministry with a generous donation. We appreciate it. This is Peter Wallace. Next week on Day 1, we're pleased to have with us the Reverend Dr. Brett Webb Mitchell, a Presbyterian minister and organizing pastor of the Community of Pilgrims Presbyterian Fellowship in Portland, Oregon. You won't want to miss his life-giving sermon called On Border Crossers and Misfits. So join us next time on Day One. This is Peter Wallace. Thank you for listening to Day One. But don't just listen. Why not join the Day One movement by supporting our ministry of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ on the radio, by podcast, and online? Your gift of any amount can make a big difference in so many lives. You can mail your contribution to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Or call us at 404-815-9110. Or donate securely online at dayone.org. Please give so that Day One can continue to share faith, hope, and love through powerful preaching. Thank you, and may God bless you. Now, our Day One preacher, Quincy Brown, shares some final reflections on his sermon today, Is Jesus in Your Boat? Quincy, you shared about your terror of swimming, and then put yourself in the disciples' place in that little boat with a sleeping Jesus in the middle of a fierce storm. I think we can all identify with that fear. But Jesus ordered the wind and the waves to be quiet and then asked his disciples, and us, I guess, why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet? Many folks listening may feel they are in the middle of a fierce personal storm, and they're asking God, don't you care about me? I'm about to die. Why don't you come see about me? What would you say to them?
First of all, Peter, I would say that you're in good company. Each one of us have felt that in many instances.
Yeah.
One of the things I've learned with my personal struggles is if I've got the ability to sit with my emotion and honor it. One of the things that's striking in the text is that they didn't try to figure it out.
Yeah.
They woke Jesus up. And I think that is something that we need to take and we can take comfort in. If we cry out to Jesus, he will awaken, assess the situation, and quiet the storms.
Mm-hmm. The good news, you said in your sermon, is that Jesus tells the disciples to cross to the other side of the lake, meaning he will be present with them and us when we are crossing over the obstacles, problems, and uncertain situations in our lives. Jesus is with us in all of that. But maybe it's not we who feel we're in a storm, but someone we love or a friend or coworker. How can Jesus use us to reach out to them in the midst of their turmoil?
Excellent question. I know with a lot of my personal friends and family members who have suffered during the global pandemic of COVID, one of the things that I have tried to do and I've encouraged others to do and others have encouraged me to do is to actually call out to them, reach out to them, instead of often platitudes that, hey, it's going to be okay. Just kind of sit with them. Join the boat that they're in. Ride along through this transition.
You asked us, is Jesus in your boat? The boat represents our life, and maybe our boat drifted away from Jesus. So how do we invite Jesus into our boat, or do we climb into Jesus's boat?
That's a great question. I think that according to the text, Jesus uses a boat primarily as a speaking tool. Because of the crowd. And so he is in the boat, which means to me that he is in situations in life. And so if we climb into Jesus's boat, that means we follow him. If Jesus climbs into our boat, that means that we're open to receiving him. Mm. So I think it could go both ways.
Mm-hmm. Quincy, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
Acknowledge your fear. It's okay to be afraid. Even in the midst of their disciples' fear, even when the storm had suddenly appeared, they were expert fishermen. In other words, there are going to be times in life where what we know to do is not going to be adequate. Mm. And so we have to rely on someone, something, Jesus, that's larger than ourselves to find meaning and hope and faith.
Mm. Quincy Brown, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.